All right, moving into discussion items. We have 6 items listed here. I want to add one more that I was just going to put under scheduling, but I think we can discuss it a little bit first. So the first item is this request for a day in the life, a day at the North Dakota Public Service Commission. I didn't print, or is it printed in here? Yeah, it is. I think in your admin B1, you got the email that we all got from Steve Mitnick. He's editor of Public Utilities Fortnightly. They do this A Day in the Life series. We have not been featured in our time, Randy and I's time on the commission. First of all, do we want to do it? It's pretty harmless. They don't really ask any controversial questions or anything like that. We have full ability to review and approve the copy before it's printed prior to publication. And so from that standpoint, there isn't really a threat to doing it. It would take some time, and I'm assuming they do the interviews over the phone. So if we want to go ahead, we can schedule a call to discuss how to work with them. But I want, before we confirm that, I wanted to just talk about it briefly. Any thoughts?
I think we should. I think it's an opportunity to give other commissions a little closer look at what we do, and not just other commissions, but groups associated with the various industries tied to the regulatory community. I think it would be good.
Okay. And then staff are also included on the interviews.
Better yet.
So
we'll actually have some smart stuff then.
Okay.
I'm game.
All right. So we'll maybe Stacy and I will call and discuss it with him. And then unless you all of us want to discuss it together, good with us, and then coming back with a plan.
No, I think somebody should just contact them and lay something out. And if they're coming to visit, then hopefully whoever's gonna make the contact will get some date options and
make
sure that they work. If it's phone interviews, I suppose, then it doesn't matter really which day, and we've got a little flexibility, but find out kind of the timelines they're looking at.
Yes, and how they do it. And then we can maybe get a note out to see if any staff are interested in being part of it, or not, would prefer not to, after we get more details on how he does it.
And I know at least one staff member that I had asked quite a long time ago to save these copies.
Yeah.
When they come out, just anticipating that sooner or later they would come here. And so I know we have a set of those that goes back a while. Maybe somebody could kind of do a cursory review. I'm not saying study every word, but just a rough review of those. And especially if they're coming here, that it's going to be a single day situation. But before we would do it, maybe kind of review with us a little bit, questions to prepare for.
Yeah. And I think I've looked at them. I haven't read many of them because I generally don't like Q&A articles. They seem to have a theme, like some big thing that this commission is working on. And so we'll want to think about that a little bit determine what we want to highlight. A couple things that come to my mind are reliability and carbon capture and sequestration, just as kind of what are things. I don't know how much the commission is working on the latter, but I think maybe our takes on some of the reliability issues might be interesting and something we're all sort of passionate about, reliability and cost. Victor, you have the magazines, right?
I have a stack about a foot tall in my office.
Okay. I'm wondering, Stacy, if Vic gave you those, would you be willing to kind of run through them and
Yeah, I can do that, and then I can put together kind of this is the frequently asked questions that they always include or type that type of thing.
Good. All right. So we'll move forward with that and then we'll get back to you at our next meeting on what the plan is, the timeline and that sort of thing.
All righty. Very good. Randy, the second one, we'll just go through these in order.
Okay. So I kind of explained it to Dave Thompson already, but this outage is ongoing. The explanation to staff has been that they're waiting on some component and expect it to be in. I think they gave a rough date, but maybe a week into July or something like that. So it's not like we're waiting on it to just come any day either. Like I said, it just can't, we're just not going to get it any sooner than that. It seems amazing to me that there's not a walk around. I know from my days on the board at West River, which is far different setup than CenturyLink, but you know, usually if a line got cut or something, there was a way to work around it so that those people had service somehow. So I'm kind of frustrated by that, but like I said, even more so by the fact that day after day, we are getting calls about this from people who were just told the day before that a service tech would be there in a day or two when they've notified us it's not going to be fixed until July. And so I'm almost more frustrated with their customer service than I am with the outage, but I'm frustrated with both. And so if you'd like a work session or an informal here, not a work session, I don't think that would help any. But if you'd like an informal hearing, we'll put it on scheduling and bring them in. I'll follow it up on it on myself.
I'll admit I haven't followed it as closely. But the one question, maybe it's embedded in what they provided. What is so unique about this part that they wouldn't have a backup part available when you think of how large their network is? You would think that they would have, or is it a part that they were adequately stocked, but over the past 15, 16 months, that stock has been depleted and they just haven't been able to get their hands on any more for a long time, despite having orders in place? I mean, there could be a perfectly logical explanation, but that would be a big question for me.
Well, and we really don't need to determine that now. We just need to decide whether or not we want a work session or a formal or how we want to proceed.
For me, if I can get that answer though, then I would be fine with just getting that through a data request, information request.
I had asked that question and the response that I received says, this isn't a piece of equipment that has a problem of history or failure. So I don't know if that's supposed to mean that's not something they normally would keep on hand because it normally doesn't cause problems. Our local team has reached out throughout the company to see if the replacement equipment is at another CenturyLink facility. Unfortunately, that has turned up nothing. We've gone to what we call the gray market of network vendors who might also have the piece available for sale. That has turned up nothing. We're also told we are reaching out to other companies for assistance, but right now the manufacturer has given us a July 12th shipment date.
I think the bigger issue is not the part, it's the customer service, like Randy pointed out. And it's not just this issue. I'd still like an update on the other challenge, the specific case out west with the couple of customers out there who have been kind of, I still understand, still unresolved with their service. I forget the names of them.
The Gerbix.
Gerbix, yeah. So I guess I propose bringing them in for an informal and getting an update on having a discussion with them on both of these, and also like our legal beagles to provide some direction in terms of what tools we have to try to compliance on the customer service side.
So we'll add that to scheduling in both cases.
Yep. It's number 7 on my list. I've got 2 others that I've added.
Okay.
All right. Next one, Conrad. auctioneer reciprocal agreement.
Yes, thank you, commissioners. I sent out a background memo along with a draft letter. The Cliff Notes version is we received a request from the Mississippi Auctioneer Commission indicating an interest in pursuing an agreement of reciprocity with the state of North Dakota. This seems to be a letter they sent out to many jurisdictions that do license auctioneers, just trying to streamline some processes. So it's not specifically directed at us. We haven't received any special requests from anybody from Mississippi asking if we would honor their auctioneer license, satisfying licensing requirements. But upon a review of that and a discussion with legal as well, there are some key differences between our laws and rules and what Mississippi has as well. And so this is something that would take some additional discussion. But at this time, staff is recommending this is not to pursue an agreement of reciprocity based on that we are going to be implementing some pretty major changes within our program, specifically a background check requirement that will be going into place on August 1st. That is not a requirement that Mississippi has. And we haven't had, you know, we've got our process for that kind of laid out on paperwork, but we haven't vetted that through actually doing it and executing that. So until such time that we've implemented the major changes necessary for our program, I think it would be in the best interest of the commission to not look or pursue any type of reciprocity agreement with any entity until we get our program back on a firm foundation with those changes. And so with that, I did draft a response letter to Mississippi. They did request the commission specifically review this. That's why we put it on the agenda. And I provided that as what our recommended response to them would be at this point in time for your review, if you have any comments or questions or thoughts on that. And I did have Stacy look at this as well.
So that response letter proposal is in the packet. And I'll tell you, my initial response when I read it was that it's a little too soft and almost implies to them as soon as we get everything in place from the legal changes in August that we'd be interested in this. But then when I reviewed it again, I thought, no, maybe it's not leading them to believe that because I don't see much potential for a reciprocity agreement with Mississippi. It's not like we join them and there would be a lot of demand for it like it would be South Dakota or Montana or Minnesota, but also their laws and rules seem to be not nearly as rigid as ours. So I just don't want to lead them on either. But then when I reread it again, maybe it doesn't. So I'm okay with it. I'm okay if one of you or both of you think that it should be a little tougher. But there is one phrase, though, that I still want to highlight. And that is toward the bottom of the page, the second to the last paragraph, starting on the last two lines of it, it mentions to see if a reciprocal agreement could be executed, which would be a benefit to the licensees regulated by both entities. But I think I'm sure that the meaning of that was if something could be executed, that would be beneficial to both. But is the way this is laid out, could they read into that we think it would be beneficial? I don't know if we're saying that we believe it would be beneficial if we could do something, or if we're saying that we'd be interested in something if it's beneficial.
This is the first time I've ever heard of a reciprocal agreement. We don't do this, right? We don't have any of
this. This is not anything we currently have with any other state.
I guess, and I don't see any real people asking for these. I mean,
no, we haven't had any demand for this.
I'd spend as little time as possible on it. I'd send them a letter saying, you know, thanks for your interest. This is not something North Dakota has done in the past. And we've, you know, reviewed Mississippi's laws, rules, and no major differences. So at this point, we're not interested in a reciprocal agreement. Done. I mean, I wouldn't even go into it.
I'm okay with that strategy. That was my initial thought.
Yeah.
We can pare it down and make it just more succinct and to the point, and then send them a response back.
I would just keep it simple.
Okay, that's the direction. But do you want us to run it?
I'm fine with it with Mississippi and the other state that doesn't have laws and rules in place that are consistent with ours. But if a state like Minnesota or South Dakota had the same, well, I think we've actually taken some what we feel are the best from adjoining states and incorporated that into how we run our program. I wouldn't say no to another state if they're consistent with how we do it and we're comfortable with that. I think then it would make sense to do that, but not based on geography as much as based on consistency between our program. But I defer to Conrad on reviewing and looking at that as well as legal.
No, absolutely, Commissioner. And so what staff will do, we'll pare the letter down, make it just a very, very simple to the point, send them a response, let them know that we discussed it with the commission. And then, you know, in the future, this is definitely not anywhere that I'm going to branch out without discussing with the commission first, or if we receive a request from a state that is more succinctly and, you know, equal to what we've got, then maybe that would warrant some further discussion with the commission. So thank you.
Thank you, Conrad. All right. Decommissioning plan and cost adjustments. One is Adam.
Okay.
I thought that was going to be pretty cool.
Bring back the good old days.
You can really grill me out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you recall back a couple of weeks ago, Tatanka came in to revise their decommissioning plan. In particular, they proposed to use what's called the felling approach, which is pulling the turbines down as opposed to the mobilization of cranes. So that significantly reduced their cost estimate. Basically, it went from $15.8 million to $8.9 million. So I'd first maybe like to get the commission's opinion and on what they think of the felling approach and whether they think it is appropriate to use as a methodology.
Where do we leave this, Randy? We just listen and then.
We had an informal and they they were going to send the video.
Right. Yeah. So I can maybe provide a little more context. So they did send a short video that demonstrated the felling approach. That was one ask.
Did we get that? Did that get distributed?
Yes, it was distributed. It is online. Okay. So when you have a moment, you could take a look at that. Also, they spoke about how this technique has increasingly gained popularity. And they provided a number of successful decommissioning sites that have used this method. Tatanka itself has an 80 meter hub height. So they've demonstrated that there are other facilities that have been successfully decommissioned with that type of hub height. So essentially, it comes down to whether the commission first is comfortable with the felling approach versus the mobilization of cranes. and much more headcount to decommission these facilities.
So I did look at the video, and at least I think I seen everything that was sent. What I didn't see is really what the ground looked like in the area right after it happened. And so these things, if you haven't had the chance yet to view it, you know what the wind turbines look like, and they appear to kind of cut with a torch or something, almost like you start chopping down a tree with an axe and take out an edge and then pull it that direction and tip it over. And when it falls, just like a tree, you know, there's one sudden impact when it drops, and there's a big bunch of dust goes up and stuff. And I mean, you wouldn't expect anything less. There's a lot of mass there. What I don't know and can't tell by the video is that all just dust from the soil where it lands, or is a bunch of that what we see is the cloud of dust? And I don't mean to make it sound like it's something that covers miles or anything. It really wasn't as big a cloud of dust as I expected. But it is somewhat significant anyway. What I can't tell in there is there either microscope, you know, micro-sized pieces or little coin-sized pieces or something of fiberglass and stuff flying around there that, you know, you're never going to get it all picked up? Or does that all stay intact when it falls? I don't know the answer to that. I also don't know what kind of compression that makes on the ground where it falls either. And so I am still not sure if it was up for a vote today. I guess I'd have to make up my mind. I still don't have real strong feelings on it, I guess, is this. I wouldn't mind seeing someone try some so we could send someone out and just see how it turns out. And so part of me wants to approve this as a one-off, but then how do we do that without, it's almost half price. So everybody's going to come in and want to do the same thing. And if we allow it, and then when they start doing it, it turns out that we have big compression areas where the soil is compacted and big messes of fiberglass laying around out there in somebody's fields or pastures. And we've in turn lowered the financial assurances that we have for cleanup, then we got a big problem on our hands. So maybe the compromise is, and another thing I do like about it in this case is they are offering to then go from 3 to 4 feet of cleanup on their foundations, which is a benefit to the landowners. So maybe that's what makes it unique, but I expect they all would do that in exchange for being able to cut their costs. So I'm a little torn on at the time.
What do they do with the oil?
That's drained first.
That is drained. Okay.
And they do.
That's my understanding that we heard in the formal. Right. All the fluids are drained.
And they, by the way, when they do take the foundation sound from 3 to 4 feet, I believe that's approximately another $442,000. They are taking that out of their 20% contingency, which is roughly half of their contingency. So their overall cost estimate of, I think it's $8.9 million, remains the same.
I thought they had a 10% contingency.
Oh, 10%. Yeah, you're right.
Yep. Okay, but that's correct. Either way, it's within, it's from that.
Yeah, it's from the 10% contingency, which is half of the contingency.
I see. Okay.
So I didn't know if there are strong feelings on it before we prepare an order or desire, like after viewing the film, to have another hearing with them or to request maybe additional film of the ground right after they do one. If we got it now, I guess we wouldn't really know whether how much cleanup had been done or what it looked like. I just don't know what happens with these blades when they hit the ground. Mm-hmm. Hundreds of feet in the air.
I guess from my perspective, I think I watched the video. It was a while back and it was kind of short, wasn't it? Yeah, I'm pretty sure I did watch it. I guess I don't see enough red flags with this method to justify not approving it. Because while there's probably, well, there most certainly is compaction issues related to the tower falling over. They've pledged to address those and fix those. There are, we know, compaction issues from the cranes driving out there too. And so are the 75 compaction issues from the towers or however many there are, towers being felled, are those maybe less than the compaction issue of a big crane going all over that site? And so do those sort of balance each other out? I guess it's new tech, it's a new approach. It's probably going to become more of a standard approach over time by the time these are actually done. I would assume that the technologies are upgraded as we go. And so I guess the biggest concern is that we're reducing the overall amount of money available for the project by going with a smaller amount. But I think they've provided justification and enough information to make me comfortable with allowing it.
I don't have an issue. I personally don't have an issue with the felling method because I don't think there's enough data to dissuade me. I think you have compaction issues no matter how you go about the dismantling of the turbines, whether it's cranes coming in or not coming in versus, I would, the one thing, I don't know how this is addressed exactly, but conditions permitting. If they're scheduled to go in and to start tipping towers over when that day comes, whether it's 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 50 years from now, that they don't just, well, this is a schedule and they just had a 3-4 inch rain. The ground is really soft, which is going to be quite pronounced when that tower tips and hits soft, wet ground. Because if you've got an indentation, it's how you pull that back up to grade without
knife under it.
No, this isn't a baked potato. This is, the one thing that I always go back to and wonder, and that is, okay, so ultimately there's a landowner involved with every tower. And are the landowners properly educated to say yes? They're the ones who are getting the payments to have the turbine placed on their property. And, you know, is that a part of their easement that, you know, at the end of the 99-year period or whatever the lease period is, that they're in agreement that this particular method is fine, but the law just isn't terribly specific in terms of how you get the towers down. It's just get the towers down and reclaim the land. So I think it's based on really a lack of data that it's not, doesn't provide a good outcome. I think it's fine if they want to tip them over.
I think I'm not quite in that camp yet, but I'm going to say I'm viewing this in a different lens than I think both of you are. And that it's not, what I'm worrying about is not the company, not the landowner, this commission and the commission's responsibility to the state of North Dakota. Maybe there's a way to write this up that it's unique, that it's kind of a test thing, and that it's not precedential. But if it does become the precedent, and I worry that it will, we're going to have 2,300 turbines around the state that will have a much lower financial assurance. And if as time goes, it turns out that felling these is problematic and landowners don't like it and it's causing problems, or if the fiberglass blades pulverize and there's a lot of fiberglass dust going into the air and the health department doesn't want it allowed, and years later these wind farms start going out of their productive life cycles, and there's only half enough financial assurances, or 60% about, I think it is, to do it with a crane method. Well, the company is just going to walk away from it, and it's going to be the commission left with not enough money to do it correctly, and only enough to do it with the felling method that maybe proves to be problematic for the landowners or for the health department. But by then, the ship has sailed. The financial assurances aren't there. And certainly at least some of the companies will push these off to third parties and walk away from them if that's the much better financial alternative. So
why don't we move this to scheduling for a work session? I don't think we should use up any more of the discussion time for this, because it's more complicated. We probably need our attorneys to provide some input into the discussion on how to narrow this and provide for contingencies. So we'll move it over to discussion, or to admin scheduling for a work session.
So this becomes number 8.
Yeah. Thank you, Adam.
Hello, commissioners.
Let's see here. Monthly adjustments. Is this, Victor, is this going to be a small item?
Or I'm
is this
going to
be another item that should be a work session?
Well, I have it on scheduling already for a work session, because that's the direction that I received from the commissioner at the conclusion of the informal hearing. And
yeah.
If that's still the case, we don't even need to talk. We can just be done with this item and schedule a work session. I just wanted to have it on here in case anybody wants to talk about it a little bit, only because if we want to do a work session and still implement July 1st, we kind of have a pretty tight time window.
Okay. So this is the one, Brian, you had some strong feelings about the approach. So what are your thoughts?
I'd like to just schedule a work session, get it fit in time. I think the 29th, is that our drop dead date?
The 29th is our drop dead date for approval. So we would
right.
have to have a work session and a special meeting between
right.
now and the 29th.
When's our, I'd like to move it to a work session, because yep, I just think there are too many details to go over in terms
that's
of the
what
approach.
Like
okay.
This.
Okay.
What shall happen?
Thank you.
Can we move that to maybe number 1 in scheduling?
Yeah. We don't need to do anything scheduling for number 1 the way it is. We're going to do that next time. Okay. So it is number 1. Okay. Ennis, so that's number 5. Great Plains Natural Gas Company, cost of gas, same?
No, so this one, I just wanted to get a feel for if you would like an informal, if you would like to go directly to a work session. So this is the first detail we have on this. The company filed some information, and I realize you don't have it in front of you, and you probably haven't taken time to review it. That's okay. I just wanted to kind of give you an opportunity to give me some direction on what you would like to do with this. I will say Great Plains is different than the other systems. So their increase as a result of this is higher than what MDU's is, less than what NSP's is. But they also have a little bit of a unique rate structure whereby they're suggesting we do not do the seasonal because they don't have residential and commercial. They just have firm and interruptible. So
I think we'll need a work session to go through everything just like the others.
Well, certainly.
Or an informal.
And I guess that's kind of the question, I guess,
formal.
For you, is if you would prefer an informal or work session. This one has an additional wrinkle, so that the timing of the normal true-up is different on this one than the others. And none of them are the same.
The normal true-up for Great Plains actually would have started June 1st. Apparently, they weren't prepared in time. So that's the normal true-up period isn't even in place yet. So even if we were to implement July 1st, the maximum period that gets us onto a normal schedule, we're now down to 11 months.
So I don't know, from my perspective, and Brian, you're the portfolio holder, but I think the informals have worked well, and having the conversation with the company helps things to go more smoothly. So I think I'd like to see it as an informal. Good with that?
I would like an informal. Well, we can talk about it during the work session in terms of the timing. I've got
not just this,
but overarching timing of how we implement the last remaining players, but we can cover that in work session.
Well, in work session or informal, I think.
It's going to be an informal,
but when we have the work session on NSP, there are commonalities in all of these in terms of, and there are differences as well, I recognize, but I think the one thing I want to flesh out and we can do it is the timing.
Yeah, so I guess, and maybe that's a good approach. So maybe when we get to scheduling the NSP work session, we can notice this case as well if we want to talk about both of them.
Why don't you just talk separately with Brian on the timing issues that he's got concerns about, and then bring them accordingly to the informal of the work session. And you guys can set the informal yourselves based on what is already on the calendar. We don't even need to add that to scheduling.
That sounds fantastic. Already set.
Okay. All right. So the last one is I want to talk briefly about the governor's carbon neutral goal. I met with Reese in the governor's office to get more information from him on what prompted it, et cetera. And it was pretty enlightening. I thought a good conversation I had with Reese, and I asked him if he'd be open to either himself coming and talking to us, the governor coming and talking to us, having individual meetings with, each of us, just so that we have some dialogue with the governor on where he's heading with this and how the entities that we regulate in the state might respond to it, et cetera. So you guys, if you're open to doing something, I'm pretty sure the governor would come and meet with us. It'd probably be best for you guys to meet separately with Reese, if you're willing to, in advance of that. So are you open to having a conversation with the governor coming to one of our meetings down the road?
I am.
Okay. How about you, Brian? So we'll work with his office and scheduling a meeting with him probably during one of our commission meetings, kind of, or we could set a separate one aside too. We'll see how the schedules work. We could set a separate work session for it, I suppose. Probably better.
Seems like it'd be nice to have it separate because sometimes, occasionally we even get tied up in scheduling and it takes a long time and we'd hate to be taking this time.
Okay, so we'll work on a separate. Do you guys want to reach out and have conversations with Reese privately in advance of that? I don't need to get in the middle of that, but I found it helpful.
I probably will if there's time, depending on when Reese
sets us up.
Just to better define the meeting with the governor, which I'm very open to, what would be the angle from a regulatory standpoint? What are you envisioning? Is this to flesh out where we fit in?
I think flesh out a number of things. So as hear more from him, what he has in mind, he doesn't want it to be a regulatory thing. So I don't think that in his mind, we would ever have anything that we'd have to do formally with the companies, but the companies that we regulate would certainly be looking to us, I think, for, are we on board with this? Are we, you know, because it would definitely have some impact on some of their approaches down the road, perhaps, especially in specifically commitment to, you know, carbon, helping out with carbon capture and sequestration or those sorts of issues as it relates to their facilities. So I think that, you know, the regulated entities that we're involved with probably have a bigger, as big of an impact and a financial concern about this as anybody. So I just think we need to have a, you know, understand where he's coming from, express our concerns to him as it relates to those issues, cost and reliability, and also, you know, how, if it's possible to have a North Dakota position that's kind of united, what is it and how can we be part of it? I mean, one thing that I like that he said is, you know, it's a challenge, it's not a mandate, and it doesn't give everybody else a monopoly on environmentally friendly approaches and language. And so, whether we like it or not, this is the direction that so many entities are going, and ESG and everything else, the companies operating in our state have to deal with this. So how can we be part of it and have our own approach, our own twist, our own North Dakota way in addressing this same thing? So.
Well, I think it would be a good dialogue to have, and, you know, there's a common theme among a lot of political people around the country, you know, like, and he uses it a lot. You know, I don't support regulation. I like innovation. Okay. Yeah. And so, you know, he's thinking of innovative things here, and it's not a regulation, it's just a goal. But then if there are costs associated with it, those costs potentially need to be recovered. And so it doesn't get cheaper because it's a goal as opposed to a regulation. If they have to do it, it still costs the same amount of money, and we're the ones who have to that recovery. Right. And so defining it as a goal rather than a regulation, if we're putting a lot of pressure on them to meet the goal, that's kind of a regulation.
In a time frame,
And so I think it is really important that we understand parameters of the goals he's putting forth to industry in North Dakota, and that he understands how that affects what we do as well.
Agreed. I think that's a really why it's so important to have the conversation.
I think it'd be good to start with the conversation. We're unique in the sense that we're not the Department of Commerce. We're not the Industrial Commission. We're a regulatory body, so we have to operate within the confines of the law and apply the law to whether it's a project, a siting application, whether it's a request from an investor-owned utility to seek recovery for a project tied to that initiative. I like the thought of being closer to it, but I also don't want to give the impression that we're not focused on our regulatory responsibilities as well. So I think for us, it's a little more of a challenge in terms of a balancing act. It's not hard to get behind, but we still have to deal with what the legislature has given us in terms of statute.
Yeah, I mean, that is the bottom line in everything we do. So I think right for now, it's just a conversation with the governor so he can kind of understand our perspective and we can better understand his. All right, we'll move it to scheduling and get started on that. The first one is this work session. So I'm gone. I leave tomorrow at 1 and will be gone on Friday. So that said, is there a time in?
Well, that really only leaves Monday then.
Or tomorrow morning. I'm available tomorrow morning until noon.
I like tomorrow morning. Any time.
Well, if we are hoping to pass something, should we leave enough time where we could have the work session and a special meeting?
We couldn't do both at the same time. We have to wait until the 29th for notice purposes.
Oh, I see. Okay, so that's next Tuesday. All right. All right, so tomorrow morning at 9? Is that what we were talking about?
Yep. We may have to see if we can get another room. I don't know if we're going to have a hearing room tomorrow morning, but we'll work through that.
Okay. All right. On the 3rd, tomorrow.
24th.
Okay, next up, let's hold on. Well, the summer/fall picnic, let's hold on that. Let's talk about the performance review for Steve. And maybe the special meeting. Should we set a special meeting time for that last other one, Victor?
We can. We certainly can.
I mean,
it's
well, we're going to have to make a decision on it one way or another, aren't we?
If the commission is ready to make a decision.
Maybe we won't be right. That might, yeah.
Depend on the outcome.
We can wait till tomorrow. Session. We can set it at the end of the work session tomorrow.
I'm hopeful that after the work session, we'll be prepared to move forward.
Okay.
Confident. Cautiously confident.
Cautiously optimistic.
Well, is there any reason why we can't just tentatively
pencil it in?
I mean, it's
sure.
I will tell you that I'm booked up in the afternoon on Tuesday.
Okay.
So it's gonna have to be Tuesday morning. We can just go set a time and be done with it.
Sure. I have an 8 o'clock meeting and an 8:30 on Tuesday morning. Otherwise I'm available anytime between 9 and when I'm available the rest of that day, so.
Done by 9 with your 8:30?
Yes.
So can we just schedule it for the 29th at 9?
Brian, are you around on the 29th?
I'm just taking a look. Yes, I'd be available at 9. I would be remote, but that's
okay.
Not a problem.
Okay, you guys got that? The 29th at 9 a.m.
Yes, ma'am.
For the tentatively or a special meeting. All right, and then when are you not remote? I think we should do Steve's performance review in person. You mostly remote next week?
No, I'm back on Wednesday.
Okay.
I thought we've done this before.
No, this is new.
A public meeting.
No, it's a personnel meeting, so it'll be private. But it's the three of us. Never really done it this way because we haven't.
Technically, personnel meetings aren't private.
Well, we've noticed them, I guess, but nobody comes.
Right.
I think we
but
could
somebody
make it private.
Could if they want to.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything allowing for closing for performance reviews. I'm not sure.
No.
I don't think so. No. I'm not saying anyone will come, but it would be an open meeting.
And I don't think we could put it down as a personnel discussion. I think we'd have to be specific since we've just talked about the specifics of what we're going to be discussing.
I think that's fine. Give it a try.
I'm okay with doing it that way, and I'm also okay with having the chairman do it. Potentially be able to add some written comments.
It's not nearly as much about the written thing as a conversation for Steve to get feedback from us. So I think that's why we last year talked about doing it this way. Okay, are you comfortable with that? What dates do we want to look at? You want to look at the you said you're back on the 30th?
I am.
All right. Are you around on the 30th, Randy?
Yes. I am.
Do it in the morning?
I'm going to be getting back late, so.
Okay. What time would you like? All right.
So June 30th at 10?
Okay. All righty. Moving on down. The Kessler information is in. Both the parties have submitted their briefs. And so I wanted to set up a work session to discuss those and discuss that.
This must be one of your five or six. So.
This is number, I took off meeting with the governor as number five because we have to talk to him to get dates. So.
Mine goes to four on scheduling and discussion stopped at six. And I think there's been like a half a dozen ads. Is it possible that, I mean, these couldn't have all come in at 9:45 this morning?
Well, the Kessler, the CenturyLink and Tatanka did come in this morning yet. And the that's 7 and 8 and Kessler is one that came to me last night. So.
Well, I'm okay. Are you suggesting a work session right now?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm game for it.
I think we'll need one.
Yeah. Should we do it after Steve's deal or do you want to do it that soon? That one, that case has been going on so long. I'd kind of like to get it wrapped up.
Boy, me too.
I'm ready to talk about it.
So. Okay. So how about 8:30? Oh yeah. 10.
11.
Okay. Yeah. Let's do 11.
We do it in the afternoon.
Or is anyone?
I don't like anything butting up against.
I'm trying to
keep. People start showing up.
How about Monday the 28th?
The afternoon. I'm trying to keep.
Well, I'm technically out next week because I'm going to be trying to move, so I'm trying to block things together.
Okay, let's. How about we do this? Why don't we? Could we go at 9:30 with personnel discussion and then wrap up at 10:30, then go with 11 o'clock on. Or even 9 o'clock if we wanted a greater degree of separation. I could make that work.
Are you comfortable with that, Randy?
Yep.
I'm fine with 9:30. Is a half an hour enough? It's separation, not like 9:30 to 10:30 and then start at 11 with Kessler. Okay, so Kessler's is June 30th at 11. Okay, CenturyLink, do we need to get in touch with, or this is just a work session? Are we going to have the company in?
I wasn't
going to get an explanation of why they can't seem to get that fixed.
I'd rather just use the next informal.
All right. See, is there anything else on scheduling that we need informals?
Tonka.
Okay. When is the next informal that's available? I'm hoping that at least that Belfield case is. I was hoping to have it on the next meeting.
Oh, okay.
But.
I see. We can do something outside of the informal. Yeah.
Let's try and find a date.
Okay.
So you're mostly out next week.
Well, I'm here in town, and so I can definitely be available. But if we can block things, that would be helpful. Like in the mornings or. We don't. Is somebody out on Monday? Are you gone on Monday? Okay. So what about Thursday?
I'm pretty tied up with SPP on the first until afternoon. But I could do it in the afternoon, or was there something on 29th?
Like
didn't
one?
The 29th come up on that previous one as a
Brian's
possible date?
Gone. Oh, he's okay. Gone Monday and Tuesday. So how about the 1 o'clock on the first? Third day? Does that work for you?
Sounds good.
Entry link.
I'll have to check with legal, but it'll probably have to be noticed as two separate because we already have an open case for the Amadon situation. We have an order to show cause case, and I'm assuming we're going to have to start a new case with the other one. I'm not sure, but so there might be like a 1 and a 1:30 or something, or notice with two case numbers or something, but I'll have to check with legal how to do that.
We'll probably do two of them on one.
Two of them on one. Okay.
So that's the CenturyLink stuff will be Thursday the 1st at 1.
Okay.
And then we're down to Tatanka. A work session to discuss that. And do we want to do it right after the CenturyLink one?
That works for you.
I'll make it work.
Do that again then?
2 p.m. Or 2:30.
I think we better go 2:30. Okay. I don't imagine both CenturyLink things being
sure.
done in an hour.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about traffic control measures on Tatanka if it is approved, the felling method. Well, people will come. Seriously, people
yeah.
will come to watch. I would imagine cars will be lined up on the county roads and whatnot to watch this.
Okay.
Just for about the first 100, not for the last
yeah.
2,500.
I think, Pamela, did you get everything? Let's save that. Schedule out.
So you're. I'm in favor of a fall picnic.
So we got both of our cost of gas ones then?
The first cost of gas one, Victor, so the. 9 a.m. on the 24th is the NSP. Victor and Brian are going to, on the other cost of gas, the Great Plains are going to talk to the company and get it, the informal in one of the upcoming informal spots. Already designated informal spots.
So if our next meeting is the 14th and that informal is taken, then the next one after that is already into August and we've essentially,
well,
it would be pretty hard to get this done in time for July billing cycle, but now we've taken August off the books too.
We're going to have, I don't think we'll be able to use one of the informals, right. I don't think we'll be able to use one of those because it would be too late. So we'll have to see how quickly the company is ready to come in and then just work it into scheduling
okay.
through email or
I sure
Victor.
Hope we can get this done
okay.
in this next week or two that we don't get to the
we'll
end of July and we're like, because I don't know if Great Plains would be able to take billing action as
no,
when it's down to the last 48 hours like
sure.
SP can.
We will move it along.
Okay. So with that, I think we're adjourned. Thank you.